I'd like to welcome you this evening to the presentation on solar energy and some of the related topics. We are spiritual people and we see all from the holistic viewpoint, and solar energy, you also cannot actually look at it as an isolated case. There are so many other issues also connected to renewable energies. My name is Golo, and I came in 1984 in contact with the Brahma Kumaris in Germany, and in 1999 I started doing things here in India in a more practical way, and 92-93 then started living in India, built a small house here in the backside and the small meditation dome in mud brick technology, and many things happen. So I will a little bit talk you this evening through the development of our renewable energy activities and some related subjects, because you can see the pictures much better, and otherwise I feel very shy, and you know, it's like long distance there. Okay, so let us start. And okay, so this is solar energy for the future. There's a lot of talk on the future, what is in the pipeline for the future and how the future will like. Even here the Brahma Kumaris is definitely trying. I move on the side, I'm just listening, I should move to the side. Like this? Okay. So, about the future, everybody tries to talk about the future. We also have a vision of the future which is spiritual oriented, and I will talk a little bit what is in the pipeline in the area of renewable energies. And first of all, a very interesting graph. I hope you all can see nicely, I'm not in the picture. This graph shows us how is the distribution of energies in this world. And as you all can see, this is the total stocks of coal, this total stock of oil, total stock of gas, and total stock of uranium in the world. And this big cube is the sunshine which comes to Earth every year. So the sunshine which comes to Earth is much, much more than the total stocks of coal, gas, uranium. And this in the little corner, this little cube, is what we need every year in energy. So if we would, I say would, be smart, we would make use of this big cube of solar energy and do not make wars for these leftovers which are deep in the earth, and some of the technologies are even very, very dangerous to use them. We all know about Fukushima and Chernobyl. This is a very, very dangerous option. I was once in an atomic, one in the biggest, 4 years ago, in the biggest atomic power stations in Germany, and I got goose pimples inside. I was right standing on top of the reactor. Very, very high tech, very complicated, and lots and lots and lots of things can go wrong. And Germany switched off 8 stations, which are similar to the Fukushima after the crisis. So you can see, if we would be smart, we would use this. And here you can see the world solar radiation, and here's India. And you can see the world solar radiation basically is strongest around the equator. We have a very, very powerful solar radiation around the equator. And here India is in the red area, which is quite good. We have almost 2,000 kilowatt hours per square meter per year, which is quite a lot. So that you get an idea, oh, something is missing. The sun shines, and you can see the yearly insolation in the Himalayas here, and 1 square meter, and I hope now, yes, here it comes, is equal to 1 barrel of oil. You can imagine, just after every year, every square meter is 1 barrel of oil everywhere. In India, we would need an area 40 by 40 kilometers, put up solar plates, and enough electricity for whole India. That's all. Similar for the whole world, I think we would need 300 by 300 kilometers in the Sahara Desert and enough electricity for the whole world. So it's not a complicated story. It's complicated because we're not doing it. So many other factors are there. But you can imagine what is the possibilities. So what is happening is that you can see here the oil and gas age is coming to the end. We are all oil junkies. You all came by planes to this place. You all consumed a lot of oil. We travel a lot because we want to give the good message. So we use a lot of oil. But oil is limited on this planet. And the number of wars is proportionally increasing to the depletion of the oil reserves. And you know, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, everywhere, the Middle East is totally ups and down. And interestingly, the oil reserves are dwindling. I'm not putting a direct connection here, but you feel free to think about it. You can see these are the total stocks of oil. And there's something which is called peak oil. And as per most of the scientists, we have reached peak oil in 2010. And from here onwards, there's only decline. Our gasoline meter in the car shows less than half. And now we know already it's becoming difficult. We're living in a world where the philosophy is grow and grow and grow and grow. But on the other side, our resources are dwindling. And this is a very, very unhealthy equation. And we all know it's not sustainable. So, but on the other side, we have this philosophy of more, more and more. And we want to consume all these beautiful things. And this lady, she's from the USA. And I'm a great friend of the United States of America. And you see, she buys everything on credit card. And this is a very interesting relation. The whole world is in debt. Energy resources are dwindling. And there is a direct relation between the debt crisis and our depletion of easy, accessible energy resources. There's a direct link and a direct connection. If there would be very, very cheap oil, we would not have an economic crisis right now. But we have a very massive economic crisis because also energy prices are skyrocketing. Every year, your gas prices and your fuel prices, everything is rising. So productions become more costly also. And as everything is based on an interest-based financial system, it's not going to work out very properly. Okay, so we all know we should not follow this lady, despite we all have too much stuff. If we are open and analyze our own lifestyle, we have too many pairs of shoes, and every year we think, I should get rid of all this stuff. But on the other side, there are all this beautiful advertisement, and the new iPad is coming out, you know, already in the G5, you know, I mean, okay. Apple is extra. You can go for Apple gadgets. This is for the Mac fans here. But you see, it's no more working out. This is a wrong philosophy. And this is only for a small fraction of the population in this world which can have this lifestyle. And all the others are in debt. So we have to change. And here's a very interesting thing. You can see there's no more balance. This is the Chinese economic dates, and this is the reserves of dollars in billions, and this is the debt of the United States, which is equal to the debt of Europe, and which is equal, even the debt of Japan is worse. India also has a huge amount of debt. Everywhere is debt. And the dollar says, oh, yemine, yemine, George Washington is very upset now. And the situation is critical. We may can expect some very, very serious situation on the monetary front in the next coming 2 years. There may be chances for a crash with a lot of very unpleasant side effects. It's maybe possible. So, and you can see new poverty in the United States. A lot of tent cities are coming up like in the 20s. You can see a nice picture from UK, I was there 6 weeks ago when there were the riots. I was in Oxford, which is one of the richest areas in UK. They burned the McDonald's down. Can you imagine? And what happened is, the members of parliament, they got big, big money. Then comes the bankers. They got, by the way, the biggest bonuses in 2010 ever recorded. And then comes this guy and gets the Nike shorts, Nike shoes, the Adidas shoes out of the shop. So this is broken Britain, but we can see that effect in many, many societies. That now the promise of our present system is no more giving that benefits. All right. So what does this have to do in India with the solar energy? Well, you can see on the other hand, the poor people, more than 2 billion people are deprived of free energy. This is Rajasthan, the plains. This was forest and jungle 100 years ago. Now you go there and you hardly find a tree. Because population is growing. And these people don't have the money to buy gas, fuel or this or that. They are really depending on nature. But nature is finished. No more. So this is a very serious problem. So for these people we have to find a solution. And now on the same time, you see the crazy food prices. This is wheat and maize. And for example here, maize has gone up from 100 to from $400 to $700 per ton. Wheat has doubled the prices in the last 2 years. And many of the problems we're seeing in the world are food revolts. So it's a very, very strong connection between our energy crisis, a food crisis, and an economic crisis, and upheavals in the societies. If the belly is full, people are not going on the street. All right. So, what is the problem? We can see that we have an ecological footprint. This is where you analyze the consumption of a planet plus what can regrow on the planet with its resources. It's called the ecological footprint. Don't ask me more details. And you can see in 2010 we were using 1.6 planets of resources. India, for example, is using 1.8 Indias. Only planets with a very strong biodiversity like Brazil or Canada, they have a positive footprint. They produce more biomass than what they consume because population is less and the growth is very fast and very powerful. So you can see here, if the development, the growth goes on, and all the politicians, they say, in order to get out of the finance crisis, we have to grow. In 2040, we need two planets. Of course, Hollywood makes all these movies where we beam up to other planets and send starships there and get those planets and these resources. But this is a Hollywood myth and it's not going to happen. So what we need is, we are really at a paradigm shift. We have to follow this path, and actually we have to shrink. Our economies have to shrink. Our consumption has to shrink. Our energy consumption has to shrink. I know this is a word which economics people don't like very much, but it's the only way out. We need a healthy growth in this direction. So we come back to one planet which is sustainable. By the way, vegetarian people are very good people. It is said, there are some calculations, that about 40% of our environment, of the greenhouse gas emissions, they are due to the fact that there are so many people non-vegetarians. It is said, there are some calculations, that the planet can sustain 6 or 7 billion people if they are having a vegetarian lifestyle. If there's a non-vegetarian lifestyle, maximum we can sustain 2 billion people on the planet. So imagine, we're 6, 7 billion people now. Half of the population is non-vegetarian. It's a big problem. So this is one of the reasons a vegetarian lifestyle is very, very healthy. And I hope you all think deeply about that point. So, if we don't change our mind and our actions, there will be nothing left over. No business. Okay, so what should we do? We should copy the cycle of nature and should not waste. Wherever you find this sign, buy the product. It means it's recycled. And nature is a perfect cycle. Sunshine comes, biomass is created, CO2 is bound in the biomass, we can have little industries produce our things, use the biomass, and there could be a perfect cycle. Unfortunately, we're making it the opposite. We're battling the cycles of nature quite often. We build skyscrapers which need a very large air conditioning, which is not functioning because there's so much glass outside. This is this Baru Buru Ul Buruk in Dubai, whatever it's named. The air condition didn't work because it was so big, so they had to double the air condition. And these buildings are all not sustainable. So really we have many, many areas where we have to change our action, our architecture, how we plan, how we do things. We should live in environmental friendly houses and should use on a personal level as much as possible environmental friendly gadgets, recycle things, save the water and so on. There are so many areas where we can do something on a personal level. So what's the Brahma Kumaris doing? We have activities, Green the Earth, Clean the Mind. It's a global initiative. We have a green team and we have drafted a green agenda for our institution also and green guidelines, where we try to follow and introduce more and more this lifestyle. We adopted a lot of renewable energy gadgets here in the institution, but we're also trying to recycle our food, this, that, organic, you know. We're trying on our level best what we can do. And it's like the idea to spread that and become a practical example. So we have also, we're participating in all the UN conferences. We were in Copenhagen, Cancun, and now we're going to Durban. And we're trying to build this bridge to the politicians and tell them, see, it's not only making a strategy paper, you have to do it practically also. You have to become the embodiment as a person. You have to become an example. So that's where we're working on, and that's one of the initiatives. But the problem here in India, if you plant a tree, the goat will come and eat the tree. So you plant the tree and then you build a metal cage around it. It's called a tree guard. But then the man comes and loots the tree guard and sells it as a junk. So you need a watchman for the tree guard, which protects the tree. Plus you need somebody to water the tree every time. That you have to do for 10 years until the tree is big enough. So you can imagine the difficulties in India to reforestate the area. So, our main features are adopting eco-friendly concepts and undertake large-scale tree plantation. One brother in South India started that. He planted 3 million trees. So what should we do? We should do an energy audit. An energy audit is where you analyze all your requirements and your needs and your energy consumption, and you see where you can improve. It is said if you do a thorough energy audit, industry can save up to 30% of the energy. So there's a lot of potential everywhere where we can do something on a personal level, in our household, but also on a level of an industry. We can have a look in power generation. There's a lot of potential. These mobile phones. There's a lot of potential in power generation, transportation. You see in the morning all this traffic jam around the world, and always one person sits inside the car. And he moves 1.5 tons of mass to move his body of 50 to 100 kilos. So this is not very economic. So energy audit in transportation, in the industry, and in the area of housing. And in the housing we all can do ourselves, we can insulate. In winter we can switch the temperature a bit lower. We don't need 26 degrees in winter, 22 will do it also. In summer we can keep the air condition a bit higher. We don't need 22 or 18 degrees and deep freeze. 24 is also okay. We can recycle the water from the kitchen, use it for the garden. We can have a little veggie garden outside. So many things. We can avoid plastic bags. We can buy consciously good products, and so on. And we can look a little bit in our consumption and really buy when we need things. Unfortunately, it has gone very deep in our brain, because it said that until we grow up, we see 30,000 ads in the TV, the radio, the newspaper, and we're totally conditioned. It's very, very difficult to get the whitewash inside the brain. Here I can really recommend the deep tapasya and meditation of the Raja Yogis, which we do here. You really become free after some time of this conditioning of the advertisements, which is very powerful. So don't go for the Apple stuff. Okay, so what else we can do? You see, solar technology is a very ancient technology. You can see this was in 1860 in Paris, a concentrator. This was a solar pumping station in Egypt in 1910, built by a Britisher. But when the cheap oil came, this was dismantled. It was pumping for 10 years water, generating steam, driving a small pump. It was pumping water. And this is Leonardo da Vinci, which was supposed to experiment with dishes and so on. And the Greece, apparently, they won a sea battle by using solar concentrators and putting the other ships on fire. So solar energy is very, very old, and we use it every day. Actually, the whole world is like a big solar machine, because all the trees and the plants, they live from the sun energy and convert it into biomass. In our case, we have to concentrate it and catch it and store it, which is very easy. There's a lot of technologies. I will show you a little bit. There is photovoltaic, the blue cells. Biomass is very, very powerful, is by far the largest, and the largest growing biomass in the world is sugarcane. And sugarcane is very good. In Brazil they do a lot. I was in Mauritius, they do a lot. You can make biogas, you can make alcohol, and you can make fertilizer out of it, and you can even produce electricity. And you put it in the field, and every day it grows this much. It's unbelievable. It's very fast growing. Sugarcane is the fastest growing in the world. So a lot of biomass is there, water power, geothermal, this is when you take the heat from the earth, solar thermal, means solar hot water system, environmental heat pumps, wind power, and tidal power. A lot of power and energy is there. You can see here some concentrating solar technologies where I will talk a little bit today. You can see here trough, solar tower, solar dish with Stirling motor, and here the photovoltaic models. All around the world, these systems are popping up. The only problem is they need a lot of cash. And now cash is getting tight. They're printing at the moment, but everybody's very careful to go into debt. And most of the solar projects, they are credit financed. So here is a problem. In order to switch over to an alternative technology, we would need a lot of money. Unfortunately, the last 30 years, a lot of money has been wasted and a lot of time. We should have switched 30 years ago, it would have been easy. Now it's very, very difficult, because we are in a financial crisis of unprecedented proportions. So, what is the Brahma Kumaris doing here to give a practical example? We are doing a lot of research in the area of photovoltaic, solar steam cooking systems, water recycling, solar hot water plants, solar passive architecture, solar thermal power, and energy efficiency. These are all special areas, and in each of these areas we either have some systems or we did a little bit of research, and we have done around 20 R&D projects, research projects with the Australian government, with the World Bank, with the Indian Ministry of New and Renewable Energy Sources, as well as the German government, and we get partly funding from these people. And at the moment we're trying to get officially a research status, which will make us more happy, because people will recognize us that we are doing really a serious job here. We are one of the largest users. We are the largest user of solar energy in India. Alright. So here you see the Gyan Sarovar complex. It's a bit of a bad picture. We are now here in this big hall. And here is solar hot water on all the accommodation. Here we have solar photovoltaic. And here on the rooftop of the kitchen, we have a solar steam cooking system. Anybody has seen the solar steam cooking system on rooftop? Fantastic. So all your food is cooked by solar energy, to some extent. System is now 15 years old and runs like a clockwork. Was financed by the German government in 96, 97. So this complex is to quite some extent running on renewable energies, but we would need another $5 or $10 million to convert it 100% into renewable energies. The problem is always you need upfront quite a lot of money. So here you can see the solar steam cooking system in Gyan Sarovar. It was installed in 1997. 24 dishes, heat exchangers, 2,000 meals per day. It was R&D sponsored by the German government. This is how it all started. This was the first solar steam kitchen, large scale in the world probably. And this system still works very, very nicely. Yeah, this is our Shantivan complex in Abu Road. I specially came up here to give this presentation. And usually I stay here also in this complex, but we do a very large project in Shantivan. So nowadays I'm staying quite an extended number of days down there. And this is the solar steam cooking system in Shantivan. This is much, much bigger. It's with 84 concentrators, and at that time in 1999 when we built it, it was the world's largest solar steam kitchen. It's based on these concentrators, and it has 84 concentrators, 3,500 kilos steam every day, and 35,000 meals. And the cost at that time was around $250,000 US. Now it would be 2 crores and 40. Yeah, it would be 400,000, half a million US at the moment, approximate. Dollars devaluated so fast, almost has to recalculate it daily. So we have 84 concentrators, and they are catching the sunlight. Sun rays are coming, and the sun rays are focused and concentrated, and they hit these receivers. Inside this receiver is water, and the water starts boiling. It's actually quite simple. And we generate steam up to 10 bar and 180 centigrades inside these receivers. And you can see here is the concentrator. This is small mirror facets, mirror glass. Here is the receiver, inside is water. Water starts boiling, shoots up, collected in this big, big monster pipe. This big pipe will be insulated. You can see here. Fabrication, all our own team. Design, our own team. Fabrication, our own team. And you can see, we save up to 400 liters diesel and 1.2 tons of the bad, ominous CO2 emissions, or which are called greenhouse gases, which are supposed to be responsible for the global warming. I'm not sure you heard about it, but 5 days ago in UK we had the absolutely temperature record of 30 degrees for October. And in Germany, last week they reopened the public swimming pools because it became so warm. It was never happened before. It's very, very unusual weather. So here you see our main kitchen. You see here all the cooking pots, and here the solar steam line comes. And we cook for all these people in Shantivan. So the cook has a big responsibility, and we need backup systems. And we have to guarantee that there's always steam. Otherwise, you have to run away if you cannot give the steam and hide, because all these people will be after you and asking, where's our food? And in India, food and timing is very serious. So far we never failed, but yesterday in Gyan Sarovar one boiler failed. We always have two. We have the solar steam system plus two boilers as a backup, and yesterday one boiler blasted. So we are trying to get a new coil, which will take 3 weeks. So let's hope nothing happens. Okay, here we did a system in our global hospital. You have seen it today. And we put up bigger dish, we developed the dish bigger, improved the central tracking, and we make 1,000 kilos steam for sterilization, laundry, and for the canteen. You can see here how we insulate the solar steam tank. And in solar energy, you always try to minimize the losses, increase the efficiency. So everything what you're doing, you're calculating, how much losses do I have? Can I do it better? Can I improve the efficiency of the system? So here we use 25 centimeters of rock wool. That's the maximum what you can do. Even if we put 50 centimeters, it would not insulate better. So here is our 16 square meter dish. And these are the three happy inventors, me, Wolfgang Schaeffler, the inventor, and Jay Seema. This was our 16 square meter dish, which we developed with the help, some little funding of the Indian Ministry. We also have a solar shop in Shantivan, where we are offering solar lanterns and other products and give information. This is the famous solar cooking box. Cost is about $50-$100 meanwhile. You can buy it almost in all countries of the world. You put it outside, you put the cooking pot inside, and after 2-3 hours your meal is cooked. David, who's living here, is cooking quite often with the solar cooker and makes very nice bread. And in Shantivan, where I stay, we cook also with a solar cooker every day, and we have very, very nice rice. So this, for example, is a small gadget which everybody can use who has sunshine. You need the direct sunlight. It's not working in cloudy condition. There's a solar lantern, a small photovoltaic, a lantern with a small battery gives 4 to 6 hours light. Very helpful in India. In India, 60,000 villages without electrical connection. A lot of people are in the darkness. So with a solar lantern, many people in India, they got light. Yeah, we have a lot of photovoltaic. This picture is taken backside here. A lot of photovoltaic. In all complexes, we almost have 100 kilowatt photovoltaic. We have big inverters. And this projector runs at the moment also from solar energy. Also, the sound system here runs from solar energy. And when there's a power cut, some small lights, they will switch on. This emergency system also runs on solar energy. Also, most of our computers here, they run on solar energy. Because in India, especially in Rajasthan, we have a lot of power cuts and fluctuations. You will not feel so much because we switch on the generator when the power cut is there. But today I saw the chart in Shantivan. Every day, 50 minutes power cut, 1 hour, 20 minutes, sometimes 5 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. Every day there's power cut. So electricity is not very reliable here. These are our battery banks, and we have totally 3,000 batteries, and we have totally 60 systems all over India. You can see here we did a project with the World Bank, and this was also $8 million project, and all over India we put up a 5 kilowatt photovoltaic system, and we are here in Rajasthan. Here is Delhi and here is Bombay. So everywhere here, where's the dot? We have 4,000 centers in India, maybe now 5,000 or 6,000. Wherever is a dot, we have a major system. And this is the maintenance of our batteries. We do overhaul, repair, maintain, do everything ourselves because it's cheaper. And it's very difficult to find expertise here in this remote place. So we have to train ourselves, bring the expertise here and do all repairs and maintenance ourselves. This is another big project in near Delhi. This is Om Shanti Retreat Center near Delhi. Here we installed a 200 kilowatt power plant plus solar steam cooking system. This is a retreat place where the people come from the big capital of India, New Delhi, which is a bit stressful because so many cars, so much noise, so much pollution. 60 kilometers outside, we have this complex and we have equipped it completely with renewable energies. And you can see we did the fabrication, design, erection, installation, all ourselves. You can see here is the solar steam cooking system. This is the photovoltaic system. This system generates 200 kilowatt peak. It's a 1 million euro project, $1.5 million. We got 50% funding from the Indian government for that project. So now I come to the project which is currently going on in the Brahma Kumaris. You could see all these various projects. And the moments we are very, very busy with the project, it's called India One. It's a 1 megawatt solar thermal dish power plant with storage and cogeneration. This we are executing through our charitable trust, World Renewed Spiritual Trust, which is a sister organization of the Brahma Kumaris. And this is the first dish plant in India with storage. So you can see here the prototype, which is a 60 square meter dish. And here's the receiver, and here are the three proud inventors. These are the same one like in the other picture. Always the same chaps who are sticking their heads together and have crazy ideas. And you can see this is a very, very large concentrator. He concentrates the sunlight and reflects it into this receiver. We're getting in the focus up to 1500 degree Celsius temperature, and we melt mild steel. And it drops down and becomes liquid. We couldn't believe it. I've collected some of the melted molten steel. So imagine what a temperature we're getting. And it's working. So 5 years ago we had the idea, or 4 years ago. And now we started the project last year. And we got some funding from the German government and from the Indian government. They give us 40%. But better than nothing. It's an 11 million euro project. Quite big. So you can see here is the design of the dish. We have 600 detailed drawings, 3D AutoCAD design, and it's tons and tons and tons of work. Yeah, here you can see the focus test. We're getting more than 1000 degrees in the focus. You can see the layout. Here's our Shantivan complex. Here is the solar land. We produce the steam, have the turbine, and we produce hot water, steam, and electricity. It's called cogeneration. And the speciality of this plant is we have a storage in this plant, and this will be the first solar thermal power plant which will run 24 hours continuously in the world. If all is working as we are planning it, we hope it will do, it will be a real demonstration project. It will become a pilgrimage place for the solar technocrats, hopefully. Okay, so we have a radiation meter. This is the solar land. You can see it's ideal, no trees, flat, well suited. This is our data logging, where we get all the datas. This is our fabrication hall, where we started fabrication. So here you can see how we make all those dishes. This is inside the hall. We have set up a factory. Imagine you are setting up a car factory. You have no land. You have no infrastructure, no road, no power supply, no water, no people. Design is also not yet ready. Not enough money and whatnot. That was our situation last year. Now, we already started the project. And this is blasting. This is painted, ready-made, ready for erection. Erection going on. You can see? We are building 800 of these dishes. So, you can see here the final erection. Work is going on quite well. There's a web page. I will give you the link. You can have a look. Get some idea about the project. It's very interesting. And this is the night time where we are doing the testing of the storage. So we were sitting several nights there, had some night sessions with some good chai. And the steam was coming out of the receiver. Pshhh, all the time steam for hours. Until finally the storage was exhausted. So it worked as it should work, which was very good. Yeah, now I come to the end of the show. Now the big question is how to bring change. Technology is there. And definitely, we can see our politicians doing a lot of efforts. This was in Copenhagen, a conference with so many hopes. I took this photo myself. But this photo, of course, I did not take myself. We had three passes. The IP pass, the VIP pass, and the VVIP pass. But at that day, they didn't allow anybody. 15,000 policemen, three rings of protection for our leaders. And they were sitting and discussing, and nothing came out, no result. Then everybody said, okay, we'll fix it in Cancun. There was the next climate conference, so we all went to Cancun. So many meetings, so much paper. And you know, at the airport, all these delegates, they came with a suitcase, and then they were all overloaded with their papers. So you could see all these delegates, and they took all these papers, conference, strategy papers, and they all put them in the waste bin. So, because too much luggage. So, no result in these conferences. What is happening? What's going on? And definitely, this is not the right strategy. It's not going to work if we are saying we don't have to do anything with the problem. We have to really think about it and do something. So what we need is a sustainable development from the inside. Because outside, the development is no more sustainable at all. And what we have to understand and what you're learning here also in this, hopefully in this week of intense spiritual training, is that the degradation of the inner values has caused the degradation of the outer world. Actually, the outside world is a mirror of our collective inside. And we need a common understanding by sharing the same value system. Our value system has totally gone. Nowadays, it's just like make the big money, get the jet and fly to your own island and forget about the rest of the world. This is the value system of many people. Values and the existing technology have to go hand in hand. Technology without values is going against us. So values is very, very important. And inside, these values have to be there. So our thoughts and ideas are the key to save the planet. Our thoughts and ideas, they are shaping the planet. So we need a revolution of the consciousness. We need a new strategy, we need a new thought pattern, a new paradigm in our mind. Here, a little side excursion to show you how it works and how important that even can be. You all have heard probably of the Japanese guy Masaru Emoto, who did the experiments with the water crystals. Our body consists 70% out of water. And this guy called people from the street and said, took bad water from the pipe from Tokyo and said, okay, let's have positive thoughts. And the water crystals became very nice. And this is water which has been listening to the music of Mozart. And this is water crystals which has been listening to heavy metal music. I mean, it's not meant as a judgment at all. And this is a crystal through meditation. Isn't it beautiful? So these are all good crystals here. This is a crystal from the Niagara Falls. The water is very powerful. If you have been at the Niagara Falls, you can feel the energy. It's a very energetic place. The water is very powerful. Our body is 80% out of water. Now imagine how we think about ourselves and how we think about others. And of course, these crystals, you will feel very, very healthy. These crystals are all negative thoughts. There are no crystals at all. So imagine what happened, and this is the situation also when you are sick. Then the water in your body gives these kind of crystals. So imagine, and this only by thoughts. And our world, our oceans are there. Water is there. Water has a memory effect. Water is very powerful. So imagine how powerful are our thoughts. So what we have to understand, think good first about yourself. This is the first message. First, you have to come into peace and harmony with yourself. You have to accept your situation. Everything is fine. Everything is good. No worries. Everything really happened to be very good. Then, once you master that, one has to master that, think good about others. Then you can start spreading good thoughts to all the others, to your friends. And when you've mastered that stage, then you can become a world benefactor. You can think good about the world. Then you become an enlightened person, or as we say, an angel. Actually, here you are here at the angels' school. If not anybody has told you that already. So what should we do? We should give light and receive light. Very easy. And then if we do that, give light and receive light, we all become very happy chappies. Then we come towards a better world. Cooperation, the values, peace, unity and values, and sustainable technology. As we have seen in the previous slide, the technology is there. And we don't need to do so much, it's really outside there. We're just not using it. Because our value system is no more in position where it should be. So, towards a better world with peace, sustainable technology, unity and values and cooperation. And then we have a better world. So, 9:52. I hope it was not too much. And this is the last slide. And I thank you very, very much for your attention. Here is a web page, www.india-1.net. At this web page, you can download information about our solar activities. There's a brochure, there's some nice photos. One can even support our solar projects and activities. And there is the email ID. If you have any questions, it comes directly to me. And I thank you very, very much. Charlie, any questions?
How about the ISIS coming back?
What?
ISIS.
well, there are so many Hollywood movies, some say it becomes hot, some say it becomes cold. Ask me in 2 years after December 12th, 2012. Okay, any other questions? Yes. Pardon? Yes, you have to be careful. You should not walk through the focus. It's very hot. No, we'll fence it, don't worry. We are very careful. You come close, you already feel it, so. Okay, yes? Pardon? Yes, we get a lot of visitors if you're in Shantivan. It's about 1 kilometer from our Shantivan complex, and you can come and visit when you, at the time when you leave. You have to make an arrangement with your taxi or whatever. You have to talk to our brother Charlie, and I'm sure Charlie will do all necessary arrangements. No, some they want to visit maybe the solar. On subtle vibrations, everybody gets every messages. Nothing to be worried. Okay. Thank you.